Hey everyone, how's it going? It's Nick Baldwin. We're back for another episode of Command Your Social. I'm excited to be here. We have a great guest and I have my great co-hosts, Jesse and Leslie. As always, how is it going today?
Hi.
Hi. So good. So happy. So happy to be here. So good. And Nick, can I add, you sound incredible. Like,
Jesse,
just your voice quality?
You know, Jesse, I was going to say, your new microphone sounds almost as good as mine.
Thank you.
We have the same. We're microphone twinsies. Leslie, you're next.
I know. I am next. I need to get that one for
just
sure.
Just go get it. Just bite the bullet. All right. So today we have an awesome guest. He is the Profit Share King. He has with Keller Williams. He has a lifetime profit share of $900,000. Which shows you that anyone can do it. His name's Aaron Kaufman. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Shout out to my fellow KW stakeholders that are listening today.
Boom. I think my lifetime's around 300K. I'm almost there, Aaron. Yeah. Almost there. So thank you so much for being here. KW has a really great, I don't know if it's a feature. Is it a feature? Is it a model? It's a model,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. KW has a great model called profit sharing. And I think before we get started, tell us how it works. Cause there's a lot of misconceptions around.
I'll tell you, Nick, and all of you, you know, when I talk about profit share, the last thing I talk about is the money. I think the big thing about profit share is that it's the catalyst for our entire interdependent value proposition and our unique culture at KW. And I think, you know, when you're at a company where, you know, agents are vested in a true common goal, you know, the profitability of your company and the success of your fellow stakeholders, an amazing thing happens. You know, people buy into culture in an industry that's always been kind of dog eat dog. And so, you know, we give back half our profits essentially to the agents that help grow this company. And if you're thinking, you know, like a business owner, what better way to grow a real estate company than to not only reward your agents, who, by the way, are driving your business, for growing your company. Now they're vested in the success of your company financially. And so my guess is they'll probably buy into your culture more and they're less likely to leave. And so, you know, I was inspired by my experiences as an agent in Atlanta, Georgia, which coincidentally is the number one market at KW. I came out of a top 10 market center. So, you know, I had a high level experience at Keller Williams as an agent. That had to happen first before I even cared about wanting to even attract people to this company. So, you know, basically what I do is I'm just kind of spreading the experience that I had in the number one region and a top 10 market center. I'm trying to spread that around KW, because if more market centers would run themselves the way that my market center does, I'd be retired by now. Mm. So
I have to ask, pretend that I'm a naysayer, which I'm not. I'm KW family as well.
Yeah. Sure.
But pretend that I am for a second. Aaron, you've been in it now for 15 plus years. Yeah. What's the opportunity for somebody just getting into taking advantage of?
Yeah, well, I actually think right now is the best time in the history of Keller Williams to get purposeful about it. I mean, I don't know what you guys think. I kind of feel like we're on the brink of the biggest growth spurt in the history of Keller Williams. And as Gary Keller says best, the greatest shift of wealth and opportunity are in down cycles or times of crisis. And pretty sure the last couple of years qualified for a time of crisis. And I'm pretty sure we're into the next shift. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
Yep. It's fair to say that.
And, you know, when you're a Keller Williams stakeholder, you believe this is our moment, right? I mean, don't agents need what we have to offer more than they've ever needed? And, you know, the good news for us is we were born in a shift. We took over this industry in the last shift, and I kind of have a feeling we're about to redefine this entire industry in this next shift. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that we're privately held and a lot of our competition is publicly traded and their stock prices are way down and ours, you know, we've got little debt. And I think we're just ramping up to take the next big jump in KW. So I think right now is the best time to do it. And the truth is this, Jesse, whether somebody believes me or not, it doesn't matter. We're going to grow with or without you. The only question is, do you want your unfair share, right?
I love that. I planned on asking a different question. I know we have to keep it also social focused. So Aaron, we don't have to.
I've learned a lot.
But yeah. we're going to go that route eventually.
Okay. Yeah.
I do want to know though, like, I'm in the Profit Share Mastermind Facebook group. I know we all are. So like, what caused you to take this passive income opportunity that you didn't have to share with the world and create this online online community? Kind of, how'd you do it? Why'd you do it?
Yeah, it's called desperation. it's a very powerful motivating tool. You know, when you go all in on profit share and you go big in 05, 06, 07, 08, 09 with predominantly brand new agents off the internet, you know, timing could have been a little bit better on that one. So, you know, I had a ton of success. The market shifted. I started losing a bunch of agents. Profit share dropped. My wife was like, hey, this crossing your fingers on the 21st of the month strategy is not working. So you figure out another way to make money. And so I built my class, the KW Effect, which I've been teaching for 11 years. And, you know, the mastermind group kind of became this platform for me to indirectly promote my class. And I got to give Jessica Starr, agent in Connecticut, shout out for starting that group and letting me hijack.
Jessica started it?
He started it. And I was like, listen, I want to keep this conversation on my personal. I didn't know anything about Facebook groups or anything. I was just like, look, I'm just going to keep this on my own thing. I don't want to share this, you know, with somebody else. And so she got me to take over. And I just realized, you know, the big thing for me was I realized that every time you do a post in a group, everybody gets a notification. Right.
Right.
And so when you got 43,000 people in your group, right, I mean, it's a lot more of a powerful way to come from contribution, to kind of own that space, and then indirectly become the expert and promote my class. And so it's been amazing. It's been absolutely, I make well over six figures a year just from managing that group. And, you know, I get a lot of fulfillment out of inspiring our fellow agents to think and act like a stakeholder. So it's a real win. And, you know, I've learned a lot. I've failed forward quite a bit. I mean, people that have been following me for years know that, you know, I don't always say the right things. And I've had to learn to find, you know, my flow and realize that I'm a leader in Keller Williams, whether I like it or not. And sometimes the tone of the message is just as important as the message. And even though I'm right, how I say it might not be the right way. And you got to remember also that, you know, I built my reputation with KW agents, right? Like I was this disruptor. Nick is kind of the same way. We're these kind of disruptors. We were working on the outside in, and that was great, you know, but unfortunately agents don't pay my bills. Leadership does. And so when I realized that they pay my bills and maybe they're not crazy about the idea of me disrupting with, you know, the way that I would, you know, once I realized that, I realized, okay, maybe I should play the game better and realize that it's better to be rich than to be right. And, you know, who is my customer base? You know, who are the people that pay my bills? And I think when I realized that, and there's some funny stories there I can go deeper on where I was on triple secret probation with KWRI and my OP, Rick Hale, whom I knew, I was started with Sean Rawls and then I went to a Rick Hale Market Center, but he said something very powerful to me after my third conference call with my Cheryl Sidoti and Daryl King and all these people. he said, Aaron, stop being the voice, be the conduit. Right.
Oh, that's good. And Sean's always got the right thing.
Well, that was Rick, but Sean always.
Oh, that was Rick. That. Well, Sean does too.
Yeah, Sean, you know Sean. I mean, yeah, he's like freaking. He's like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Sean's the Sean brought me and my mother over.
Absolutely, and it's not a coincidence that I came out of a Sean Rawls Market Center, right? No. But I think, you know, I'm kind of a garbage magnet. You know, in the sense that everybody tells me all their horrible stories.
Oh, gotcha.
I was like,
Market centers that are out of model or out of culture. You know, I hear all of that because I'm not a official leader in Keller Williams. So people talk to me and they say, hoping that I'm going to go on Facebook and drop a haymaker in my mastermind group, which I used to do. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't building any wealth for me and my family. It wasn't getting me closer to my why. So once I stepped out of the voice on some very hard issues that people don't want to talk about, what happened was, one, people stepped in and spoke, you know, instead of me. And two, I'm a lot happier because I'm not engaging in these conversations that would make me so angry when I did. So stepping out and letting other people say the things that I used to say, I'm a lot happier. It's created a lot more opportunities for me because I'm a much brighter and shinier trainer and sort of brand now instead of this angry, ragey guy out of Atlanta wants people to follow the freaking model. Okay. But
I mean, learning look, that not has supposed been, to entertain crazy.
That's how I've been failing forward. And fortunately, KW has been so patient with me And, you know, I just did a presentation at family reunion. And so, like, you know, doors are opening now that I realize that, you know, the tone of the message is just as important as the message.
Yeah. I've taken classes, I guess, from this old Aaron and also instruction from this, yes. from this new Aaron. And I have to say,
me too.
Both fire. Both fire.
Oh, I agree. Old Aaron was on fire for sure, but he was going to have a heart attack in front of people if he kept that up. Because I used to slug a 5-hour energy before I went in the door. And then, you know, now I'm 40. Oh, God, I'm 49 now. And, you know, I'm like, I can't do that anymore. And the truth is, Jesse, it's the same amount of energy, whether I drink a 5-hour energy or not. I'm just a lot sweatier when I do.
You know? So let me ask you this. You know, at first, you know, you're like, hey, you know, I'll take over this group on Facebook and it'll be a great way for me to kind of like, you know, promote my class. Sure, right. Sure. Right. What's your mission now with the group? What do you hope to achieve?
I mean, look, I have a huge financial investment in Keller Williams, right? And when people say, hey, thank you for all you do for growing KW, I'm like, look, I got a huge financial investment in this company. Maybe more of you should start thinking more like stakeholders. So the real goal for me, I mean, look, number one primary goal is to book more classes, to make as much money as I can and move to the Caribbean and live the life that I want to live. All right. And profit share will be what I live off of. So look, I have no kids. I'm ready to teach. I'll teach 5 classes a week, every week. I got no problem with that. Secondarily, you know, look, if you help enough people get what they want, you get what you want. Right. And that's sort of my mindset with this group is that, and Nick, you're the same way as me. You know, you're an abundant guy. You share all your things and, you know, 99% of the people you share your stuff with will do nothing with it anyways. So you might as well share. And so that's always been my thing from day one is that I'm just trying to help. I stand on the shoulders of giants. I mean, if it wasn't for people like Sean Rawls and Linda McKissick and Dave Jenks, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I love nothing more than to see people like Nick Avila, who's Prez McKissick's recruit, who we taught our entire system to, and who then went out there and recruited more people than me. Now, he ain't going to catch Brett Mitchell. I mean, I don't think unless he does it for another 10 years.
Oh, but I don't know. My money's on Nick. We'll see.
Nick's a beast.
We'll but either way, but here's what I'm going to say, Jesse. I actually want Nick to beat Brett, right, in a weird way. Isn't that how Gary operates, right? I want Gary wants Ben Kinney and Tim Heil to be bigger than him. And that's sort of my mindset is I'm just an abundant guy. And through that abundant mindset, you know, I'll get everything I need out of life and my business.
I love that.
Hey, I got a quick question though, and I know Leslie has one, but I just got a quick question that's about the amount of agents that actually participate, which is not even 50%. What is it, like 30%?
35%.
Why do you think that is? And then they like, and then they go to another company and they're like, oh, but I'm going to go there because they're, I'm going to make all of this money. You're like, but you haven't recruited a single agent to KW.
Right. I mean, look, if you want the real answer or do you want the PC answer?
I want the old Aaron.
Yeah, the old Aaron. The old Aaron, and we'll say it with how the new Aaron will say it. it's our fault. It's the company.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
100% the company's fault. We all know, look, we're this innovative company, but we're still built on the backs of traditional thinking people out of the Midwest, you know, in Texas. And look, when we first started as a company, we weren't profitable. We were this innovative model. We wanted to grow this company on its merits as a real estate company. We talk about training, support, culture, right? We don't really talk about profit share because we probably in the back of the day, we thought it maybe diluted our value or people didn't understand it. And so then fast forward 38 years later, surprise, nobody knows how profit share works and less than 35% of our agents participate in profit share because we've been scared to empower our agents with our story because we don't want them recruiting. But the deal is they're going to recruit anyways. And guess what? If you don't tell them your story, then they don't even know how you work as a company. They don't participate in profit share. They don't come to training. They don't participate in our culture. And so, you know, look, I've been pounding my fist on the table for 18 years. I mean, the bottom line is this. The next wave of growth is coming from within Keller Williams. It's not coming from attracting more agents to our company. There is so much room for improvement within KW, for culture, for empowering our agents. And look, I've been on the road for 11 years teaching my class. These agents are dying to be empowered. And you know what? I think they can handle having a higher level conversation with people about KW without screwing it up, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm the guy that thinks, okay, hey, look, you know what? Good news is somehow we've taken over the entire industry without anybody knowing how we work. So imagine what could happen if we actually like focused inward and made sure the agents we're in business with know how we work first. What could that do for culture, for retention, for profit share? So look, and you know, one of my favorite people in KW is Mahogany Rose. I don't know if you know her. She's one of my favorite people, but she said something the other day I thought was really powerful. She said, we're on the third generation of Keller Williams, right? 60, 70% of our people don't even know our story. They don't even know who Mo Anderson is. They don't even know where, how we emerged from this industry. And so, you know, growth is messy. And I think the good news for all of us at KW is that the last 5 years have been messy and KW needed to feel some pain. Okay. They need to feel some pain because, you know, Nick, because of that pain, you and I are engaged more in Keller Williams more, right? We're getting more opportunities. KW, people like Mark King and Jason Abrams are listening to what we have to say. And look, in the past, they didn't want to hear it because we were this rocket ship of success with no competition. And I tell people all the time, best thing that ever happened to KW was EXP and Compass.
Oh, 100%.
They have forced us to be a better company. And I have no doubt we're coming out of this last 5 years stronger than we've ever been. But we better make sure that our culture keeps up with our growth, or we will not resemble the company that got us to where we are today. I don't even know what the question was, but I hope I answered it. Yeah.
A quick plug too. There's a 4 minute, I think it's 4 minute and 32 second YouTube video. I think it's called the KW Effect, and it's Aaron condensing this whole first class that I used to teach KW Effect into 4 minutes.
Yep.
And it's awesome. We would make, when I was a team leader, we would make every single new person that joined our office watch that. That was part of our onboarding process. You explain things so clearly and concise. So Just a plug, I guess, for that video, but also leadership and team leaders. If you want somebody to get it in onboarding, it takes 4 minutes. Watch that video.
I mean, I should be in Austin, Texas, teaching leadership classes. I mean, bottom line is, back to your original question, Nick, the reason why a lot of our agents don't participate in profit share is a lot of our leadership doesn't understand it or understand how to empower our agents to get purposeful about it. And we have a huge turnover at team leader positions. And presently, there's really not a lot of leadership training on profit share and the conversations around it. And so, you know, I'm the point on the spear, man. I'm on the profit share task force. I'm the squeaky wheel. People, you know, sometimes I get a little ragey on these task force calls, but the fact is, you know, who else is going to do it? If I'm not going to do it, who else is going
to
do it?
So I mean, you have to be this. I'm always the outspoken one because everyone else is afraid to be outspoken. Right. And I just don't give a crap. Like, you know, if someone doesn't like me because I have to say something that everyone doesn't want to hear, but they know is right, I'm just going to say it. Like the same with our, the MREA model, like, you know, like 90% of our agents aren't using MREA model.
Yeah.
And that's what we're built on.
Well, let me add this though, Nick. I think since this is a social, command your social thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick, I mean, you own Lab Coats Agents, right?
I do, yes.
It's worth a lot of money, right? So guess what? Yeah. Guess what? When you have money and you have leverage, then you can be Mr. I'll say whatever I want to say.
Let's get real.
Look, I respect you fully for all the things you stand up. I know we heard some terrible news.
I know.
All that stuff. I know you're going to probably post something about I respect you for that. But dude, I'm Switzerland because you know what? I don't have enough money yet to say what I really want to say. And to be honest with you, you know, I see people in this company that, Nick, are on the other side of all these things that we're passionate about, right?
Yeah.
Women's rights, LGBTQ, environmental issues, gun control. You know, we're all on that side. There are people on the other side that think they're just as valid.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about,
for sure.
Right, so what I'm saying is, we're in a country right now and in a company where my guess is half the people do not like what you're saying, whether it's right.
Oh, I'm completely aware of that.
So, but you don't care because you are Gary Keller's pen pal.
Oh, stop.
I'm being serious. I don't mean that in a negative way.
I know.
You're in the inner circle. You got Lab Coats.
Keeping it real.
You've been given the go sign to be Nick Baldwin. I'm telling you. Yeah. One, I have a reputation that I have to overcome. Two, I don't have enough money to say whatever the hell I want to say. But I will tell you this. There's two curves in my life.
I say it for you, Aaron.
Profit share earning curve and how much I give a crap about what people think I say on Facebook. And so as that curve goes up, I will be more vocal about the things I'm passionate about.
Yeah, yeah.
Until then, I don't want to eliminate any customers from my business.
I completely get it. I completely get it.
Leslie.
What's going on?
Yeah, Leslie, hi.
Hi, everyone.
Leslie, join us.
This is about Aaron. Come on.
No, it's not.
I'm Leslie, like,
I heard you say recently that you were a Columbine survivor. I didn't know that. I would love to meet you to talk to you about that. I think that's just incredible on so many levels. So I'd love to hear that story someday if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. And I'm totally open about the story. And I think the more awareness we could bring
of course
to the topic, the better. Yeah.
I mean, on that is appropriate for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So getting back to social media, my question for you is, you know, are you creating this strategy of what you post every day or every week?
Yeah.
Do you have a, you know, a mission basically, or is it just like off the cuff, or is it just spontaneous? Give the listeners a little bit of insight of how your brain works.
Sure. Well, I mean, look, depends on what side of the bed I wake up on in the morning.
That's good and bad.
Right. So if I wake up on the bad side of the bed, then my wife will say, hey, don't post anything stupid or whatever. but usually I wake up on the bad side of the bed because someone has reached out to me and told me some horrible story. And I'm just like, oh my God, I can't keep my mouth shut. I have to say something about it. But it is spontaneous. Okay. I mean, every day I wake up and, you know, it just something comes to me right now. Usually if you've been following me for a long time, I've been regurgitating pretty much the same stuff over and over again for 11 years, just putting different spins on it or different ways to look at things. But yeah, it's, you know, there's a great quote from Gary Keller. That's my new motto. And he says, my persistence disguises my stupidity. And I am very persistent and consistent with providing value and branding the KW effect and reminding people that they'd be idiots not to bring me to their market center, especially if they wanted to, you know, 10x their investment or 100x their investment. But, you know, it's pretty much the 80-20 rule, you know, 80% value, 20%, you know, I'm partnering with the McKissicks on these websites or I just taught this class. And the great thing about where things are now is I don't have to talk about how great I am anymore. Everybody else will. And I think that's the cool thing. And I'm joking when I say that sort of, but the point is, you know, I'm a one trick pony and I do my one trick really well. And there are a lot of people that have taken my class that say it's one of the best classes in KW. And so all I got to do is show up, do what I do, and people will talk about how great it was. And so I don't have to promote anymore, which is wonderful because now I can just sit back and have fun with it. And I'm not engaging in some of the more divisive conversations, but every day I try to post something and I'm the guy, if you're my group, I like every comment. I respond to every question.
That's cool.
You have to, you can't post and ghost.
No,
And I manage the entire group myself. I mean, I love Jessica, but she's selling real estate. I'm managing the group, but there's not, you know, there's not one request to join that goes unchecked. There's not one message, question, whatever. Mm-hmm. So being present and consistent, people know they can ask a question in that group of me and I'll respond immediately. And I think over 11 years, I've built up a lot of credibility. And yeah, if I want to make some money off of this group that I've been building, people are not turned off by it.
You know? I think I think that, you know, you deserve it.
Yeah.
Lord knows I've been through the ringer with lab coats and people are you guys are just, I'm like, you guys are making money from this. Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And what are you doing? What are you doing with your real estate?
Yeah, business? Right. Exactly. What are you doing? You know,
and I want to be very clear here. 100% of what I do on Facebook, 100%, even my personal is 100% intentional. 100% intentional.
I love it.
Everything I do, this is business. My Facebook friends are my database. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is intentional. Even jumping into pools in the Caribbean. Okay? Because that's my brand, Life by Design.
Yeah.
I'm saying if it wasn't for business, I wouldn't be on Facebook.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point. So you post in the profit share group every month, you post what your profit share is.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then you also post when you're jumping into pools in the Caribbean. And I think there are going to be agents who hate you for that.
Perfect.
And that means you're doing something right. If they hate you for that, then
do they really hate me though? Do they really?
You know, because listen,
you're hearing
what I mean is they can either be jealous or they can be inspired.
Yeah. Well, of course. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, look, here's a thing, a sort of a sidebar thing here. You know, I ain't Linda McKissick. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to build your brand in a category where there are people that are icons who make 10 times more money than you, okay? You know, I've had to build my brand and reputation on value and on a dream. And, you know, a lot of people that have been following me for a long time have seen that, okay, yeah, my check last month was 9,000. Great. Linda's was probably 90,000. Okay. But people that have been following me know that that it's been growing. And growing,
yeah, it's definitely, growing. I remember you were posting, you know, 4,000, 5,000.
Always worth noting whenever anybody brings up Linda, and I'll never get there. Yeah. Linda only has 31 people.
Level. Yeah,
exactly. But what I'm saying is when I post my numbers, I actually feel inadequate. Is what I feel. I feel like, am I really valid as a profit share icon? If there are people in this company making 10 times more money than me. And look, I went through that from a self-esteem standpoint, trying to build my brand and realizing, you know, am I valid? You know, the shift happened, my profit share dropped off the cliff. So for me, when I post my profit share numbers, I'm kind of like, they're not big enough.
You know,
but I also know by posting it and being vulnerable, I'm saying it is what it is. And I'm still as inspired as I've ever been. And I believe in where I'm going more than I've ever believed. So
I can relate to that.
That's a part of the story, right? The story is the journey, right?
Right.
Linda,
right.
And God bless her. She's amazing. And if you told her she's at the destination, she'd probably drop kick you. Okay.
Yeah.
But the fact is when you're in the journey, and people say, enjoy the journey, you're like, yeah, go jump off a cliff. Okay. Because you know, if I was making $1.4 million a year, I say whatever the hell I want to say, and I'll do whatever I want to do. And so it's been a real challenge for me to, you know, to give myself permission to say that I am successful in this space, even though my money is not as valid as I thought, as I want it to be. And so when I make these posts, Nick, you know, $9,000. Okay, it's not Linda McKissick money, but it pays all my bills and pays my taxes. And I get to go to the Caribbean and come back, and my whole vacation was paid for. And guess what's going to happen next month? Yeah, I'm going to make another $9,000. So, right. You know, for me, I think sometimes one of the things Keller Williams made a mistake with was that we roll out these monster icons, right? And they are not relatable. Right. They wake up every morning, they write in their journal, they do transcendental meditation, they they run for 5 miles, they have a seventh level team, they own 50 investment properties. And I want people to know, look, I'm a screw up who basically found this one thing to turn his whole life around, and I'm all in. And whether it works or not, I don't know, but you're all on this journey with me. And you know. That's kind of the idea of sharing those numbers, you know?
Yes. And I just want to add real quick to Aaron, what I love about your story is that, number one, you're keeping it real.
Yeah.
Number two, it's like you turned pain and you turned discomfort into purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like you had pain and you turned it into purpose. And here we are, you know, interviewing your life story and your quote unquote journey.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's like, for those listeners out there right now who are listening, I think the most important thing to take away that I think is huge is do something with your, if you don't do something with your discomfort, you're always going to be in the same place. You're never going to grow, right? You're never going to grow even your money tree, right? And also what came up for me in our conversation today, Aaron, is that, you know, in that discomfort, you also heard somebody that was really important to you, your wife, saying, hello, this isn't working. Exactly. And that could also turn into a why. And so get purposeful with your discomfort, understand your why, and you know, be Giselle like motivated, right? And it's like either you do it or you don't.
Totally agree, Leslie. And you know, we always say when your why is big enough, right, the how presents itself. I mean, look, every time I do a post now, I'm like, does this get me closer to my why? And I don't care if it's a personal post, okay? The bottom line is I see people that are leaders in Keller Williams posting things on Facebook that like literally scare me and shock me that they would put that out there, even though they might believe in it. It just like blows my mind that people would rather get on their soapbox and talk about something like that than building wealth for them and their families. And, you know, and I'm not talking about what Nick's doing. I mean, Nick is a
I was like, I feel personally attacked.
I've heard you say this before.
No, I'm kidding.
It's like when you got, you know, you used to work for the other region, they didn't want you being so vocal.
And
but the thing is, it's not like you're being vocal about equal rights. You're being vocal about things that are, human and equity and things like that. So I'm talking about the other stuff. And so,
I'm just teasing.
I just don't understand why people think, first of all, you're not going to change anybody's opinion.
No.
Second of all, what's more important to you? Okay. Being that person or providing for you and your family. So before you build a social media strategy, you need to ask yourself what your why is and what are you going to do to get to achieve that?
Yeah.
Because it's 100% business. I'm sorry. It is. If you really want to take advantage of it.
You said something earlier that I could relate to where you said, you know, you're not a Linda McKissick, but you are positioning yourself to be this profit share guru, yeah. But like she's making, quadruple, if not more. I felt that way too. When I started doing lab coats, right? Like I've never sold $100 million in real estate. Right. Because I've never had the desire to do that,
sure.
Right? Like I've never had the desire to run like a ginormous, mega immense team because I know that with my anxiety, I would never be able to handle that, right? So to me,
sorry,
it just sounds like
your anxiety, no, but I just think that to me, that's the reason.
To me, it just sounds like
a tremendous amount
of
anxiety too, okay? I think it's a Jewish thing too, by the way, but the point is anxiety can come out as rage or come out as anger. You can come out as doing too many posts on Facebook, right? So you always got to check yourself mentally before you start.
For sure. So I've had people go, well, you're telling people, listen, I've sold real estate. Like I for 15 years, like I know how to do it. Right. And I know, and I've made, 400,000 in commissions, like in a year, like I've done well, but I never had the desire to have a $100 million team. And I've had people go, well, then, who are you to teach? Well, I know how to do it.
Wait,
are seeing results. And this is what makes me happy. I'm not trying to be that person. I think the same goes for you. Like, sure. I'm sure that you would love to make $90,000 to $100,000 a month in private. Who wouldn't, but you don't have to be that person who's doing it right now in order to tell people how to do it.
No, absolutely. And I think that's why a lot of the times, real estate agents are always promoting their latest sale or their production numbers and things like that, is that they feel like they have to let people know how valid they are all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm like the exact opposite. I'm always like, God, man, my profit share tree didn't grow by that much this month, or I didn't make as much money as I hoping I could. And I hope it doesn't affect how many classes I booked this month because my check was lower, And so, but that discomfort, Leslie, is what motivates me to focus on what I can control, which is I can't control the production of the agents in my downline. I can't control the profitability of their market centers. What I can control is adding more people to KW and booking as many classes as I possibly can. And that's where I think you start to learn, like you get away, you try to learn to just get rid of the distractions and just get laser focused on what's important, right?
Speaking of classes.
Sorry, Jesse.
No, sorry. I wanted to make sure I plused and added to that validity. If you are in leadership at KW and you have not had Aaron out to your market center, you're silly.
I agree.
Silly goose.
Totally agree.
Silly goose.
And how do we do that? What's the best way to do that if we want to book you? Because it's an electric class.
So you can find me on Facebook, get me in the Profit Share Mastermind group, send me a text, call me, whatever. I mean, I love these people that are so busy that they don't like respond to their messages, Nick, if you know what I'm talking about.
I always respond.
No, Nick, I'm talking about the person that you, my point is, the person you connected me to never responded back to you.
Oh, yeah.
No, but the point is, like, I get every message, every text. I'm the guy that responds to everything. So just find me, send me a message. I got it. All right. Yeah.
So Aaron, I want to end with this. So people are listening to this and like, I want to get involved in Profit Share. Sure. I don't have any, I want to do this. Is there like a first step? Like what is it?
First step is walk the walk before you talk the talk.
Oh, can I read this post from you then?
Please do. I love
yesterday at 9:13 a.m. You posted this.
Gotta get them early. Yep.
Right up in the morning, bright and shiny. if you do not actively participate in our unique interdependent culture, how in the world are you going to be able to authentically communicate the number one reason to be in business with us to a recruit? Of course, the answer is you will not, and you will have profit share breath. And they will smell you coming. So do us a favor, walk the walk before you try and talk the talk. Hashtag like be authentic. That. Hashtag blessed. Just kidding. You didn't say that. No,
I didn't say blessed. I just say be authentic. But, yeah. But you know, guys, I teach a 3-hour class. I start my class off literally with a question. And the question is, how important is it for you to believe in what you're selling?
Yeah.
Right? Is it important to you? Look, it's critical for me. I've tried to fake it. I've worked at different corporate sales jobs, with opportunities to make tons of money. And I could not see myself selling that product or service. So I leave that job, go to another job. So look, the bottom line is this, the more you seek out opportunities in Keller Williams, the more you participate in our training, follow our models, right? Buy into our culture, attend our training events. Guess what happens? The more this company impacts your business and your life. And then guess what? You're actually then compelled to want to share it with people in an authentic way because you see how much this company has changed your business and your life. So if you're a new agent, an old agent at KW, all I got to say is this, participate more, participate in Red Day, come to training, get into some of these Facebook groups like your group, my group, And the bottom line is, when you believe in what you're selling, like when you're a great agent and you know buyers and sellers would be lucky to work with you, it gives you the confidence to talk to people, right? Because you'd be lucky to work with me, right? Well, you'd be lucky to be a Keller Williams, but you're not going to think that way unless you're participating in it at a high level. And so I think there's a direct connection between culture and profit share. The 2 years I was the top sponsoring agent in KW, I won the culture award for my market center both years. So to me, culture is everything. And if you don't participate in it, I don't think you're going to have a lot of success attracting people to KW.
What does Mo say? She says culture is profit sharing.
Oh, no. Mo says it even better than that.
Oh, well, I know. I'm paraphrasing. I can't say it the way Mo says it.
She says if you're not profitable, you're out of culture.
Okay, same thing.
Well, no, I'm just saying being profitable as a market center is a part of our value proposition.
Right,
culture.
Right.
And I always tell people, if your market center is not profitable, I assure you, it ain't the model that's the problem.
Nope.
Yep.
Look in the mirror.
Exactly.
Mic drop.
That was a little bit of the old Aaron coming out there at the end.
I know. I saw it too. He even got a little.
Oh, I saw the crazy eyes come out.
Got a little head. Yeah.
But I just realized the bottom line is there's so much room for improvement within KW. And I think we get so caught up in recruit, and gross. By the way, right now it's gross 6 to net 1. Hello. How about
how it should be because how it should be because it used to be gross 10 net 5.
Right.
And I just remember when I was team leader, I said to my OP, I said, because I was in this little market in a little corner of the world. And there were two mega market centers on either side of me that everyone wanted to be at. And this one was like, oh, so I was like, listen, I'm going to gross 6. I'm going to net you 1. That's what I'm going to do because that's realistic.
Right now, I would say it's real. Now, look, agents, the attrition rate of agents in general is low. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying how many, you said it early on this call, Nick, how many people have left KW who never even participated in profit share, went to a revenue sharing company because they want to build their revenue share, but they never participated in profit share here.
Right.
Well, maybe if we had educated them and empowered them when they were here, mm-hmm. maybe they would have participated in profit share, then maybe they wouldn't have left in the first place. All right. So that's kind of where I see room for improvement is that rather than grow 6 to net 1, how about we grow 6 to net 3? Okay. Maybe we can just keep two out of 6, just maybe because we gave them the chance to actually understand who we are as a company. And, Jesse, you were a team leader. Leslie, were you a team leader as well? Or
I was RTT.
Okay.
No, but Leslie was regional tech trainer and she was number 1 in the country for recruiting.
Oh, wow. Amazing. The point is this.
Yeah, we should talk later.
Team leaders don't talk about profit share in the recruiting presentation. And I heard a great line. You're going to love this. Retention starts in the recruiting presentation, right? Yet we don't even talk about profit share in the recruiting presentation, which, by the way, is the number one retention tool at KW.
And also, team leaders don't try to recruit their own agents
right.
every day.
I agree. So, good news for all of us is We're the number one company on the planet, and there's so much room for improvement. That's why I'm so freaking excited right now. And that's why right now is the best time to get purposeful about profit share.
Oh, oh yeah. Well, listen, this has been a giant mic drop.
Yeah.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. This has been a giant mic drop, and this is awesome. Thank you, Aaron. I hope that you inspired a bunch of people out there. Every time I talk to you, I just get revved up.
Yep.
Definitely get the KW effect at your market center and start building your 401kW.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
And you can join the Profit Share Mastermind group on Facebook. You can reach out to Aaron. He's very, very communicative.
Yes. Son of a Jewish mother who's a psychologist. So trust me, communication is a expertise I had no choice in developing.
Always responds. And if you liked this podcast, hit the subscribe button, drop us a like, leave us a comment, smash that subscribe button. That's what the YouTubers say. Smash that subscribe button, share it with your friends. Anyway, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Jesse.
See you next time.
Bye, y'all.
Take care, guys.